Have you ever wanted to live forever? Stay tuned for Sunday Insight to find out how. My name's John Ross, Senior Minister here at Wayzata Community Church, and welcome to Sunday Insight, a synopsis of the worship experience here. And today is Easter Sunday. We're in the Gospel of Mark, where we learn what it means when the impossible becomes possible. Let's join the congregation already in worship.
We come now to our reading of Scripture, and today I'll be reading from Mark's Gospel in the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we come to you on a day like today. The only word that comes to mind is alleluia. So we're not sure what else to say, but we do know how to live because you have shown us the way and you have shown us what you have in store for all of us in the resurrection of Jesus, and we give thanks. And we say again, alleluia. Amen. So if you came here today to find out how you can live forever, or for at least 1,000 years, I might be able to help you out a little bit. Very recent scientific advancement called digital ascension. This is the good news. But you have to wait in a really long line of people that have already signed up for it. It's going to cost you at least $10,000, and it's 100% fatal. That's the bad news, obviously. This is all true. Just broke last week in the news. You may have seen out of Silicon Valley, a startup company called Nectome has a new technology. They say they can make you immortal by preserving your brain, literally freezing your brain with all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, all of your memories. And they guarantee it for at least 1,000 years. You can't make this stuff up. But as you might guess, in the process, you die. It is 100% fatal. Now think of the irony. Your cause of death is to live forever. Now, if that's not enough of a brain freeze for you, they don't even know yet how to reanimate you. They haven't figured out the other end of the equation yet, how to extract your thoughts and feelings and your memories. They've only got one half of the digital ascension, or the electronic resurrection, if you will. They've only got half of that figured out. But on the other hand, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die." Now, I don't know about you, but living and believing sounds way better than just living to die. I'd rather have the full promise of life abundant right here and right now than some half-baked possibility of a digital life then and there. The story of today, Easter, in Mark's gospel, in Scripture, can help us understand what Jesus meant when he uttered those words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die." The passage tells us all we need to know about living and believing in Jesus, not just living forever, but living for now. Jesus invites us to live and to believe. I want to unpack both of those very briefly this morning. And it actually begins on the night before the passage that Lindy read for you. The night before, when three women went shopping and they spent their hard-earned money for some spices. Not just everyday spices like for the kitchen, special spices, burial spices. Because you see, their friend had died and they wanted to honor him in the way that was appropriate by anointing his body with these spices. Now, according to law, they had to wait until after the Sabbath to do the work, so it was early on the first day of that week. It was early on that Sunday. They knew where they were going, they knew what they were doing, but on the way it occurred to them, there's going to be a really big stone in the way. How are we going to move that big rock in front of the tomb? Well, when they arrived, something unexpected had happened. The stone had been rolled away. It was unexpected, but at this point in the story, it wasn't alarming to them. It was just kind of convenient, and it made their mission a lot easier. But then another unexpected thing happened. When they entered, there was a young man sitting there, a young man dressed in white and sitting to the right. And this was both unexpected and alarming. And there it is. Right in the middle of the story, the first half of Jesus' offer to live in Christ, is to expect the unexpected. Too often we walk the planned lives of planned paths of our lives. Too often, we follow the expected routes before us, knowing and getting exactly what we expected and settling for just that. We follow and fulfill the ways of the world. The agenda is set. The outcomes are known. But when we live in Christ, when we honor his call over our lives, then we walk paths that are unknown to us. We walk paths that are even unwanted by us. When we follow him, especially into the messy places of life, we can expect the unexpected. What's today? It's Easter. But what's April 1st? April Fool's Day, a very good day to expect the unexpected. And theologically speaking, it is a perfect day for the day that we call Easter, the unexpected joke that is death. The unexpected is the common denominator of both humor and faith, if you think about it. The unexpected is necessary, both in humor, but also in faith. And when we stop expecting the unexpected, we risk losing both our sense of humor and our hearts of faith. It's like a little kid named Timmy. He was a little boy that lived in a poor neighborhood in town and had all hand-me-down toys. His favorite one was a little wagon that he'd drag around the neighborhood, you know, having all his stuff in. But every once in a while, the back wheels would just fall off the wagon. It was a hand-me-down. And every time that happened, Timmy would say something he heard his dad say once. Timmy would say, "I'll be damned." Well, one day he's out walking the block with the wagon behind him, and he's going there in front of the church, and the wheels fall off again. And Timmy says, again, I'll be damned. Well, you know what happened. The pastor happened to be standing right there. So he comes out and says, come on now, Timmy, when something goes wrong, don't say bad words. Instead, get ready, Timmy. Expect the unexpected and say, thank you, God. Timmy's like, yeah, right, whatever. But he puts the wheels back on his wagon. He heads off down the sidewalk. About 10 feet down the way, the wheels fall off again. And just as Timmy's about to say what he's always said, he contains himself and composes himself, and he says, thank you, God. And then by some miracle, the wagon comes up off the sidewalk, and the wheels right themselves, and they slide themselves back onto the axle of the wagon. And the pastor, who had begun to walk away, turned around and said, I'll be damned. To first live in Jesus is to expect the unexpected. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die. So what is it then to believe? If to live is to expect the unexpected, to believe gets us back into the story. Back into the story where after the young man in white on the right has painfully reminded the women that Jesus was dead, he then speaks words that would change them and change the world forever. He says, he has been raised. He is not here. Go, tell his disciples, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and he'll see you there. To believe in Jesus is to follow him. It's just that simple, and it's just that hard. To follow him specifically to Galilee, the invitation of the young man to the three women is the invitation to all of us to go to Galilee. And what that meant then, it still means today. What that meant then was to believe in Jesus, and it still means that today. What it meant then was a chance to see Jesus, and it still means that today. Because to go to Galilee is to go back to where it all began and where it all happened. To go to Galilee for us means that believing and acting in ways that shows that the needs of other people matter more than our own needs. To go to Galilee means that loving God is impossible apart from loving neighbor and loving ourselves. To go to Galilee is to believe that the kingdom of God is one of peace, not power, mercy, not might, love, not hate. What does it mean to you to go to Galilee? What is your Galilee in your life right now, right here, today, in this room? Not 1,000 years down the road, not in some digital ascension. Right here, right now, what is your Galilee? In what places are you called to love and to heal and to feed, to care, to touch, to calm, to call? What relationship needs mending? What bitterness needs grace? What call must be answered? What pain needs healing? Go there. For that is Galilee. And that is how we believe in Jesus. And that's how we get to see him again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die. To live is to expect the unexpected. To believe is to go to Galilee. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, the one who lives and believes in me will never die. And I just thought that maybe, just maybe, you were the one. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Sunday Insight. Wayzata Community Church is a United Church of Christ congregation that welcomes all people into every aspect of our ministry and full membership of our church, believing deeply that discrimination and exclusion in any form is incompatible with Christ's message of unconditional love. If you'd like to learn more about Wayzata Community Church, please visit our website, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or download our weekly podcast. We offer 5 worship services each week, 8 a.m. with communion in our chapel, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m., and Parables, special needs worship service in the chapel at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We also offer full adult and children's programming every Wednesday, including WOW, Worship on Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. in the sanctuary. And we'll see you in church.